And now let's get over here to Pat, who's rescued us from listening to me ramble on. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Yes, I love your show. Now, my question is a cholesterol. What's a natural medication to take for cholesterol, not take statins?
Well, you may or may not be aware that there's a substance out there that contains minuscule amounts of naturally occurring statin, and that the companies who made up the statins copied that and twisted it a little and patented it. And that substance that naturally does that is called red yeast rice. And it's in all the natural food stores, and actually a federal judge decided in favor of red yeast rice when some statin manufacturer was suing them for infringement and said, hey, red yeast rice has been on the planet a lot longer than your stuff. Go away. So all the health food stores, Trauma Clinic Dispensary, compounding pharmacies, have something that is named right on the label, red yeast rice. It does not...
How much do you take?
Oh, my goodness, ma'am. That would vary from person to person depending on their response. In other words, one starts with what it says on the label, which is usually, depending on the milligrams in it, one or two twice a day. And then you measure your cholesterol and your HDL and your LDL and all that good stuff before and after and see if it gave you a satisfactory amount, a satisfactory drop, if that's what you're looking for. And very fortunately, it's kind of hard to overdose on this stuff. I guess you could get diarrhea if you took too much, but that would be the worst it would do to you.
Okay, and... would no flush niacin do much also? I heard no flush niacin might work.
Well, you are correct. It might work, and it does for a lot of people. And if you can get the no flush time release form, that would be the preferred way to go. The short-acting stuff
with,
is more...
red yeast rice?
I'd introduce one and then the other if I were to do this, ma'am. I wouldn't do them both at once. Because the very occasional person is going to have an allergy, a little diarrhea, whatever, and then you don't know what did it if you use them both at once. So I'd introduce one, see, make sure things are okay, and then introduce the other. However, you probably expected this, but I got to bring up this question. Why do you want to mess with your cholesterol?
Well, every time I have it checked, they say it's the bad cholesterol is high. The total, I think the last one was 250.
Mm-hmm.
Cholesterol, I'm not sure. They said my good cholesterol was okay, but the bad was high. I can't remember the numbers.
And did anybody?
But I've had this for years and years. Sometimes it goes to 220 and mm-hmm. 250. It's did never really been under 200 in years. I'm 69.
Did anyone explain to you what that might do and why they don't like it and why you shouldn't like that situation? Did anybody explain that? What's going to happen?
Well, they said heart. It can cause heart problems.
Okay, ma'am. Well, you may or may not have heard this from me before, but here we go. The best anybody can do with lowering cholesterol is about a 4 to 5% risk reduction in heart attack and stroke. 4 to 5%. Well, that's a lot better than nothing. But it's not near as good as the next thing. Now, the next thing was researched in the United States and published in a medical journal in the late 1990s. And it was also researched over in Finland and published in a medical journal there in the late 1990s. And since then, who knows why, nobody's done any research. But I can tell you from one authority that it's very well respected by those who know what we're talking about. What I'm talking about, I am not kidding you, ma'am, was exemplified by that American research in which some 1,800 women and some 2,300, and those were approximate numbers, participated. And what did they do? Well, they were observed for what happened to their health over an 8 to 9 year period of time. And what was discovered was, and please notice that this is substantially greater benefit than 4 to 5%, what was discovered was that those who donated blood regularly had 45%, and yes, I did yell 45%, less heart attack and stroke over that 9 year period than the ones who did not donate blood. Now, in my book, 45% is a hell of a lot better, excuse the language, than 4 to 5%. Now, over in Finland, though, it was just men in this experiment, and there were 2,800 men. And again, They didn't do anything to him except observed what happened over a 9-year period. And why both experiments took over 9 years, I don't know, but that's what they did. All right. The men who donated blood regularly had 88% less heart attack and stroke than the men who did not. And good grief, 88% less? Well, look, I'll take 45% if I can get it, because it's 10 times as good as working on cholesterol. Now, there is a book you might be interested in, ma'am. If you happen to have a pencil, it's called...
Yes, I do.
It's called The Blood Thinner Solution, and it's got nothing to do with taking blood thinners. It should have been entitled, but it wasn't, The Thinner Blood Solution, Thinner Blood. But it's called The Blood Thinner Solution, and it's by a Dr. Kenneth Kensey, K-E-N-S-E-Y. And in that book, he explains why it is that women who are menstruating and do not smoke never, ever have a heart attack or a stroke. It's the smoking women who do that. But if they don't smoke, and why is that? Well, excuse me, they're donating blood once a month. Now, they're not donating it down the blood bank, that's absolutely certain, but they're donating it once a month. And that lack of heart attacks goes on until menopause. And then, after menopause, when the blood loss stops, what do you know, by the time women are 65, they're having just as many heart attacks, if not more than the men, slightly more than the men, and that many more strokes. What that menstrual loss does is thins out the blood, so it's less thick. And it also, since the blood cells have to be replaced, causes the generation of brand new blood cells, and those brand new blood cells are much more flexible and get through teeny tiny spaces in the body that older blood cells can't get through. So menstruating women actually have better oxygen delivery and better nutrient delivery to all their cells than men do at any time in life, or postmenopausal women. I'm not kidding. Now, what Dr. Kenzie explains in that book is that when the blood is too thick, and it comes up to a branch point in the arteries. Funny thing. If we've ever seen pictures of cholesterol accumulation, it always accumulates at the V point, at the branch point. Why is that? Because let's imagine we have a river, and that river is fast and flowing straight in a line. Does it erode the banks much? Well, a little bit, but not much. But what happens when that river approaches an island and it has to split in two? Well, it erodes the tip of that island, and it erodes it and erodes it and erodes it. And as Dr. Kenzie points out, thick blood causes inflammation of the branch points of arteries. So, ma'am, I'll resume this after the break here, but this is very important for everybody to hear because it's the best way there is of reducing heart attack and stroke. Okay, folks, I see I got carried away with explaining how to prevent heart attack and stroke. That should be explained everywhere. It isn't. My apologies. I'll be back with you next week. We just don't have time left. My problem.